Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and today I'm delighted to have with me all the way from Mexico, Avi Fomberg. And this episode is about the miracle of actually finding your true identity. Now, that may not seem like a miracle, but given that we have brains that are easily conditioned and are open to and subject to tons of information and different aspects, it is not difficult to have your true identity hijacked and certainly misunderstood. And so this is a very important show because we all have to deal with that. And Avi's amazing story will help you, I think, in terms of appreciating what is necessary to find your true identity. Avi, welcome.
Welcome. Hi, Howard. Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's a great honor to be here on your show. And let's see what's going to come up from this.
Absolutely. So, Avi, let's start at the beginning. Tell us the story of your early childhood and how that set the tone, as it were, for how you saw yourself.
Oh, okay. We are jumping right into the
Absolutely.
So I was brought up in the 80s into a family that was somewhat under the poverty line. So we have our harsh and our hard living conditions. To a father that was what you would call a simple man. He would go to his work in the morning, come back, do whatever he needs to do to try and provide to the family. And a mom that she's diagnosed with schizophrenia. And all of the hectic in the house was actually very violent in a sense. And I found refuge at my neighbor's house. That was my source of comfort, my source of feeling belonging and feeling support. I would even add that within my neighbor's house was such a support to me that he was always also was the guy that would call Social Security if my father would go too far. But as it so happened, my neighbor was also my pedophile.
Yes.
From very early, like my first memories are with him, aging. From the age of 2.5 until the age of 13, actually.
Right, right. And this is what you knew. I mean, you, as you say, your own home was frenetic. I mean, your mom wasn't just schizophrenic. She was blind too. And so one can only imagine the chaos that existed in that house, and you needed to escape it. And you found what seemed to be a great guy and his wife who would love you and take care of you and be your surrogate parents, but it came with a price. And that's a young age to be groomed into that identity, isn't it?
As you just mentioned, I wasn't, in my perspective, I wasn't groomed to anything. That's the only reality that I knew. This is where I was receiving love. This is where I was receiving stability, security, even material abundance. That was my second home, or in a lot of senses, that was even my first home. Even though I was living at home, but they were literally across the fence, and I would go there for having a hot meal. Grooming would be from their side. From my side, it was, this is reality. This is how life works, you know?
No, absolutely. You're only 2.5, 3 years old. It's in those early years that we get conditioned a lot and our perceptions of how things are. I mean, heck, you're 3 years old. You don't know much. You didn't have a lot of experience or knowledge about what should be going on, and this becomes the reality. And this becomes your reality. This becomes your identity. This is it's comfortable. It's better. You're getting love there. You're getting stability. You're getting security, albeit with a price. Albeit with a price. Did you ever think that your parents knew what was going on, or?
I don't think they had, how can I say it? All the signals were there, not just my parents, also my neighbor's wife. All the signals were there. About my parents, I don't think they have the capacity to understand or to, once again, my mom was schizophrenic, my father was a violent person that was mostly at work. They didn't have the space or the capacity to feel that, to play, to check what's going on with me in that sense. Did they had the option to see that? Yes. Like all the markers were up there. Did they have the ability and capability to do that? That's a different question.
And so, this persisted for 10 years through, the early childhood, mid childhood, and then as you developed into a teen. And we should say, well, I'll let you comment on this. It didn't seem at all to you like abuse, did it?
While I was experiencing it, no, not
Mm-hmm.
even to my late 20s, I didn't see it as something bad that happened to me. For me, it was this is my story. In my 20s, I wasn't really hiding it either, by the way. I would share it with a community of friends. I would share it with them. Maybe not with my family and my extended family or my neighborhood, but with my newfound community of friends. With them, it wasn't a secret. Like people knew, and I would share myself as a miracle story. Like, yeah, that it wasn't bad at all. I don't know what everybody's talking about. In my case, it was different. That was my self-perception of the story. Only through the eyes of certain friends that try to tell me, no, Avi, this is fucked up. This is weird. It took, I think, about 10 years or so until it got into me that, no, do you know what? And even then, I wouldn't say that I fully understood what it did to me. More like, yeah, this is weird. That's all I managed to accept at the 27, 28. It's not something that I experienced as a bad thing. As a child, I experienced it as a good thing. I would just literally run into his arms. I would get back from kindergarten or school and just go directly to their house from my own. I would choose to do this. So I would want to stay there longer. I would, as you said, I was groomed into that. So for me, that was the garden where I'm blooming.
Yes,
My
absolutely.
living experience as a child.
And there are some subtle dimensions to this, in terms of he wouldn't force himself on you as you got older,
No.
unless you agreed, right?
He wasn't, that was our thing. That was our game. That was what we would do. He never forced himself. Well, there's a good question of what is forcing. I mean, just
Right.
by age differences, and like he created a situation that was forced onto. But in my living experience as a child, that was a very pleasant experience. I was being hugged, I was being loved, I was being taken care of. My emotional and also physical, I mean, we're talking about the sexual intimacy. My physical enjoyment was very taken care of and thought of. It was never like if I didn't feel like it, it didn't happen. So yeah.
Very, very interesting. Now, looking back, perspective on that. And obviously, that influenced your perception of who you were. How did that develop from there in terms of how you thought of yourself and your identity?
I don't know. So once again, there's the question of today looking backward, and there's living experience going forward. So the living experience going forward, I didn't even put a thought, a second thought about it, that that's influencing anything in my life. For me, I had like the when I was growing up, when I was in my teenager years, 20s, 30, my 20s, not my 30s. I would look back at it as thank God I had him, okay, as my savior. I did the first time there was a question mark about it was around my when I was 13 or 14, like around that age, when I had some specific sexual experience with another teenager, that the way it handled itself was different, because I'm guessing for the other friend, for him that was teenager sexual experiment, so it came with that label. I mean, nobody put that label on the table, but that was the label in his head, or the experience he had in his head, and he came with that energy to the space. So that was like creating a self-questioning within myself. What is it that we are doing? What's the meaning of this? And in that opportunity was part of the things I literally asked my neighbor, please stop. I don't want to do it anymore. And he literally respected that. That was the end of it. 6 months after that, when I asked him not to do it anymore, he just asked me, hey, do you want to do what we used to do? And I said no, and that was really the last time that that happened. Like, didn't even try to approach anymore. It was just respecting. If you can call a thing like that respecting, but still. But within that, yeah. Looking backwards, I can see how it shaped a lot of stuff. It kind of curved a certain path in my life. When I'm looking backwards and I'm looking at some early approaches to, well, I can't say woman, to the female gender, to the opposite sex, my early approaches were somewhat clumsy, as all teenagers have. But I also had at the same time a certain path already carved. So just like a river that you have just, you know, if you carve a small thing, all of a sudden the entire river can shift to this direction. I would say that metaphor applies over here. There was some sort of not knowing how to approach the opposite sex, and getting rejections. And on the other side, there was a path that was very easily, very familiar, very accepting. You also need to understand we're talking about around what, the 90s and the early 2000s, it started to become trendy to be gay. It was like, it still wasn't fully accepted everywhere, but in certain circles, that was like, oh yeah, you're so courageous to do this. And that was a label that I was enthusiastic to accept. All of a sudden, I'm starting to receive social credit for being who I am and stuff like that.
And part of that is the reason your new book is called The Cage of Freedom. And we will get back to that after this short commercial break from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You today. I'm delighted to be having a discussion with Abby Fomberg about how you find your real identity. In the first half of this show, he described how growing up from a very early age, he connected in a very loving and seemingly positive way with a neighbor. But it came with a bit of a price in the sense that the neighbor was a pedophile and engaged Avi in these activities for a long time. And now, Avi, you're entering adolescence. You've had a couple of interactions with girls that, you seem to have an attraction for them, but it never quite worked out. And you're entering the gay community. Tell us about that.
So let us first put ourselves in some sort of time frame. I would say around 98. 98, I started going, no, even before that, during my 15, 16, I started to be open to the internet, the arrival of the internet and the chatbots, and it used to be called IRC back then. And the gay channels in them, all of a sudden there was a huge hug that I've received from being, I don't know if a misfit would be the right word to describe, but not exactly finding my space within my friends, within my community, in school. I wouldn't be an outsider, but also not exactly within me, something didn't find itself. And all of a sudden, there is a community, an online community that just give me a huge hug and celebrates me. And now it's very interesting because I'm saying, and this is exactly what we were just saying, the name of the book, Cage of Freedom. Because with the words of freedom, and with the words of courage and with the words of liberation and all of these kind of words, looking backwards, they created a cage for me. Because within this online community, and later on, I also started going to gay support groups. I've been hugged, like I was receiving so much support for being gay, which I didn't receive elsewhere. And once again, because of my personal experience with the pedophile, that was a good, like a nice living experience. That path was already carved for me, so I didn't question it too much. It was like, yeah, I'm doing good, I'm happy, I'm enjoying, and I was just embracing whatever being offered to me. And within that, yeah, we're talking about the early 2000s, going to the big city and being independent, and slowly all of my circle of friends are becoming just gays. So that's what you do. That's what you do. Like the city, the big city life, you just go to parties, you drink, you go, some take some drugs. This is what life is all about. And this is becoming 100% of my life. Maybe once a week or twice a month, I would go home for having a dinner and come back to my life in the city, where I'm surrounded by a certain type of life, which you just been embraced into. So you just accept it. You don't question it anymore. You're just like, yeah, this is good.
Right. Yeah, and there wasn't anything obviously negative about that. It was a lot of, as you say, positive affirmation, acceptance, connection, value, all of those things.
Celebration, even. I would say I was celebrated for being a certain type of something that being expected to me to be. But
Right.
once again, it's very interesting because this is exactly the cage of freedom. It didn't happen with force. It
Right.
didn't happen. It happened with embracing, with a hug, with the this feeling of shared destiny. But then you need to be part of that shared destiny.
And so during this time, you were feeling pretty good about yourself, who you were, being gay, your social life, all of that, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the early 2000s until 2000. The early 2000s, that was the thing to be.
Yeah,
Like
right.
that was. I was totally accepted. I was in the military service. I was accepted there. I was in the short term in the military service, but still, I was accepted there as a out open gay person. I never had it in any of my work spaces. I was advancing in the career ladders while everybody's knowing who I am. There was zero shame around it from my perspective, and there was a lot of celebration of it. There was a lot of social credit of you're so courageous to be that, or how, and given the fact that there is within me that I'm somewhat a social person, so I wouldn't be scared to come into a room and actually steal the light of the room. Yes, I would just, that would be my card to win the hearts of the room. That was most of my 20s, I think, even my 30s, all of my 30s.
And in terms of your interactions with women, how was that? How did you do with that?
So that's very interesting because I think only now I'm looking backwards and I'm saying, wait, what? Like literally only when I wrote the book, there was a lot of, wait, what? What's going on over here? Because I did have a lot of experiences, or maybe not a lot, but I had experiences with women. But I don't know how to explain it. It's gonna sound weird, but the best explanation that I can have. So you know how a lot of straight men also have some gay experiences, okay? Not and you can't really label that as gay experience. It's just part of teenage. You grow up, sometimes you cross the lines. It's not unheard of, right?
Correct.
Somehow my experiences with women was labeled that. It wasn't labeled as like I'm checking if I'm straight. It wasn't labeled as I'm attracted. Even though that looking backward when I was writing the book, I was fully attracted. But there was something in the way I was already identified myself that for me it was more like, yeah, I'm open to that. Like, yeah, it's to do. Okay. But today's world would, if you go on the other side, you will call the bromance. When you have bros that will do a favor to each other. So somehow that how I labeled those experiences. My guess is looking backwards once again, only while writing the book, when I was really getting into those experiences, I was like, what? Abby, like the how do you call it, was on the wall. It was
It
writings
was
on the
writing, the
wall.
writing was on the wall, yeah.
And somehow I didn't know how to recognize that, and being surrounded in a community that I already created myself that didn't even have space for that. So it was, yeah, this is my life. This is like,
Right, and at that point, you didn't really clearly question your homosexual identity. It was, this is just a kind of little deviation from that or a diversion, but it. This is who I am still, right?
yeah, there was zero questioning about it. Zero question. There was no need to question that, not externally, not internally. There was zero questioning about it. It was just like, if you would ask me in real time, did that happen? I said, yeah. What does that mean? No, it's just like it happened. I was drunk. Like that would be the answer. It's like weird things happen when you're drunk. That would be the answer.
And looking back, the reason for that is that you were so embraced in this identity that it wasn't, and seemingly happy with it, it wasn't going to break down easily or at all, just because you'd had a couple of interactions with women. And so now we're talking about you're still in your 20s, and that's your mindset. That is who you are. That is, there's no real
That's how
challenge to it.
I right. Yeah.
Right?
It's not a thing. I think the last time that I was questioned, like the question was existing when I was maybe 16 years old. From that point on, there was only adoption of that way of living, and that's it.
And I know you're and you're a pretty creative guy, so it's not like you didn't have the cognitive skills to perhaps question yourself. It's just that this is who you thought you were, and this is where you were comfortable, right?
Comfortable, I think, is a key aspect of it. I think in my specific case, as strange it might sound to some of the people in the audience, comfort was that was my comfort zone. That was literally my comfort zone. I can recognize that from when it switched, when all of a sudden I'm realizing that internally that's not who I am. And then I'm baffling with myself because this is already my comfort zone. How do I even present myself to somebody else as not being gay? Like, but how do I'm already very well known as a gay person in at whatever community I get into. How am I supposed to all of a sudden say, do you know what? I know that I'm like 40, I know that I'm 38, but I did a mistake in the last 20 years. I don't.
It's not really a mistake, is it? It's
It's my path. It's true. That was my path.
That's, and you can look at all the influences that, kept you, first of all, put you in that mindset, and then kept you there. As you said, a lot of credit, this is who you were, the sense of your identity, a lot of reinforcement for all of that, and it
So
would
now
take
it's
a
very,
lot to change.
it's kind of important to me to put an emphasis for a second, because there is So this is the problems we have sometimes with the spoken language, because we are saying kept in there and there's some sort of malintention, right? There is no malintention. That was the circumstances of my life that created that situation. It wasn't, because even when we were talking about my specific pedophile, he was grooming me, but wasn't with force. Okay, it was just it happened. And then my community, my circle of friends were all gays. This is where I already been groomed more, you can say, but by who? It wasn't somebody waking up in the morning and said, it's important to me that Abby will be gay. It wasn't that, right? It was me. It was me accepting that lifestyle, accepting that comfort zone, accepting that social credit, accepting that even self-image. I mean, it is very appealing to have this self-image of I'm breaking the rules, I'm the pioneer, and stuff like that. Even though, jokingly enough, in those days, I remember, I think I was maybe 17 or 18, I was interviewed into a local newspaper by someone who was pretty dominant gay figure in the 60s or in the 70s. He was a pioneer, you know? And he was looking at me and he was like, who do you think you are? Because I was like taking a lot of I'm a civil rights activist kind of attitude. And he would look at me like, no, dude, you're like, you have the best life of what I've created for you.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but that was the identity that I embraced. Yeah.
And I'm sure it is not difficult for the listener here to see why that happened, right? I mean, it makes perfect sense logically, to see that trajectory and to see how it made you feel free because of all the environmental
Yeah.
circumstances, but really, was it you? And in this next last section, we're going to talk about how
Yeah.
you came to question that identity. We'll be right back after the short break from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to be talking with Avi Fomberg, who has described thus far how, for a variety of reasons and factors, he was introduced to homosexuality and that became his identity for a long time. Now, I like to say adolescence ends at about 35, partly because not physical adolescence. But it takes that long into your mid-30s to really understand some of the factors that influence you and so forth. So, Avi, as you entered your 30s, late 30s, you still had this identity. What changed?
That's a very good question. And there's a distinguish between when the first signals start to shine brighter in a way that I cannot ignore them anymore. So if we were talking about my experiences in my teenagers and 20s and 30s, I would just put them aside and don't even give a second thought about them. But in the late 30s, all of a sudden, there's situations that asking my attention, but strangely enough, still being put aside. And even in the book Edge of Freedom, we are talking, and the first paragraph is talking about one of the early signs that really caught my attention. It was a dream that I was experiencing about a friend of mine that we were talking about maybe having a mutual child or something like that. She's a heterosexual woman. And one day I just woke up and I was realizing that in that dream I was actually dreaming of her sexually, intimacy, seeing her full womanhood. And that didn't align with what I know of myself. I literally remember myself. It took me maybe 2 weeks to share it with someone. And then I shared it with a friend and literally said, yeah, but what am I supposed to do with that? Like, and I just dismissed it again. And then I started traveling a lot. I just took a backpack and left all of my belongings and went to the road. Within those years of traveling, I found myself doing ayahuasca ceremonies in Costa Rica. And over there also, I'm noticing that when I'm with the medicine, I could feel it in my body, the attraction towards women. I could just feel it. It was a different, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a more complete way of attraction. It's not just a very physical urge. It's more your entire being wants to be with that womanhood. Like it's like a magnet of minus wants plus, or it's just there's a thing that wants to connect. But even that, after the ceremonies, I would get out of the state of the ceremonial and I would dismiss that. I have to admit, I didn't even I don't know if even the word dismiss, because dismiss sounds like being active about it, like looking at it like, no, I don't want to do this. No, it was just like, there's other stuff in life. I'm already prominent gay. Everybody knows about me. I just like snap out of it would be a better way to describe it. And then within my journey, I found myself doing a process that is called prana. Prana, to people who doesn't know, it's all about your diet, about your food, and actually the lack of food. So I was fasting for a very long period of time. And within the state of fasting, you get a certain center. You get so the first week or so it's very hard because it's kind of a shock therapy to your body. It's like, what's going on over here? But after that, your all of the noise of the outside is just going away. In this, we're talking about a period of a couple of months that I was fasting, and within that time period, I was also in nature. I was almost without not using the phone, the internet, the social media. I was very in a clean bubble. And when you're in that state, when you don't have all of the noise pollution, and when I'm saying noise pollution, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the city, the electromagnets, the phones, the social media, the sugar, the caffeine, all of the noise that we are bombarding ourselves. When you're living without that for so long, for a couple of months, then something you're getting your senses are being keened. You get keen attuned to what is real and what is not real, what is you and what is not you. And not from a mental space. It's not from, oh, do I want this? Do I don't want this? It's more from your sensory. You can smell and you can feel it in your skin when something is in alignment with you and not with in alignment with you. And during that period, it came very clear to me that no, I could recognize what is a pattern and what is me. And all of a sudden, I'm noticing the attraction to womanhood. And the full attraction, not just the urges. I would feel as needing that power. I don't know if needing, it's like it's more creating the full picture, and that thing is missing in the picture. Or in the being, in the essence. While the attraction for men felt like patterns all of a sudden. Like I would find myself in weird situations that my patterns would kick in. So if there would be an attractive man in the room, I would want to hit on him, I would want to approach him, but I would feel some this re like de-resonance, if that's a word,
Resistance.
some sort of resistance between my pattern kicking in and what I really feel. And I'm finding myself at the age of 38 or 40 that I'm like, what do you do with that? What do you do with, I'm remembering, and I was actually asking another friend in the group, in the prana group, that he self-described himself as a pansexual. And he also shared that the more clean he was, I'm talking about food and social media, not just like all the noise of modern life, modern living. The clean he was from that, his attraction to women was stronger, more noise that he brought into his body, the attraction to men was existing. And I started, the first thing is like, it's very weird because I was in the closet in that sense. Because who am I going to share that with? And so I was just observing that for a long time, and I'm noticing no, like I'm not imagining this. Yes, I have a pattern. Like the patterns are still after 30 years as an adult of checking out whoever is coming into the room. The patterns are like to search for beautiful bodies of men, right? To search for faces. To that's the pattern. But I could feel I would check with my body, and like no, but I don't want to be with that person. I want to share a beer with him, but I don't want to share intimacy with him. All of a sudden, I'm realizing that my body is asking to share the experience of what the entire human experience, and that to be with the others, with the opposite sex.
Yeah, just fascinating, that when you're in kind of habit mode, you just go along with what you're used to. Even though once you've been exposed to this and have these serious questions, it doesn't feel natural. It feels that it's been forced on you a bit. And your natural sense was really drawn much more to women at that point.
So that's the thing. There's, you know, the saying, I think, therefore I am. We are so embracing that there's a very good question of what is me? What is I am? Within the modern society, we are groomed, I will use the word groomed, to recognize my thinking process as the way to decide what I am and what not. And once again, when you have patterns, then the patterns are just kicking in and they are becoming your second nature, so you don't even question them anymore because that's what you do. Which is not the same thing as being in alignment with your essence, being recognized, wait, something is not in sync in the body sensation, in the body spirit soul sensation, something is not in alignment, and that can vary. That's the meaning of being in the present. Only when you're really in the present, you can sense all of that sensory. That the second you're outside of the present, then the noise in and the patterns kick in, and you're so accustomed to that that's what you identify yourself with.
And we do take thinking, we overvalue it. And, I have a book called I Think, Therefore I'm Wrong, which looks at that. What we're used to thinking, we just accept. We don't have the time, the energy, or actually the brain capacity to really explore that. And what's so fascinating about your story, Avi, is you took the time to step out. You took the time to step out of the noise, to step out of the echo chamber, to just focus on what am I feeling, not just what am I thinking, what am I feeling? What does this feel like? Let me be honest. And I think that is magic. I really do.
I wanna just put a focus on. So I didn't do that. I didn't step out to ask who I am.
No,
I
no,
totally
you didn't do
didn't do
that.
that. No, I'm just saying there's a difference between I had the privilege to build a certain type of life. It was important to me to growth is something that is very important to me. So I did build my life in a way that I can step out from the modern way of living and just from the city life, not the modern, because before the respect of technology, but from the city life, from the noise. I did allow myself to create that, and I did allow myself to go on this voyager of the prana process and the ceremonies and the kambo and the ayahuasca and stuff like that. But I can tell you without a doubt, there was not 1 ounce within me that was questioning my sexual identity or looking for that or challenging that. That was actually an emerging situation that literally the first year or 2 years of realizing that. Once again, when I wrote the book, I see that no, in the last 20 years, the signals were there. The writing was on the wall. And in the last 5 years, it was really like before I came out as straight, there was a lot of signals that are just becoming stronger and stronger that I not even noticing that I'm pushing aside. I'm
Away,
not even noticing that's what I'm doing. But within that process of the prana, there was such what I've learned, and this is the beauty of those processes. And this is what I do right now, by the way. I'm creating workshops about identity realignment. And it's not about gay is wrong or straight is the answer. It's not about that. And it's not even about sexual, it's more about adopting the tools to recognize what it is that is me, not from the thinking mind, but from the alignment of soul, spirit, body.
Absolutely.
What we used to call intuition. So now I'm actually developing tools to help people recognize what is their, how to recognize your intuition, how to develop it. And within that, in my specific case, an emergent property of that was, wait, what? I'm actually not gay. What do
Right.
you do with that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
absolutely. And you're right. I think if you had taken time off and said, oh, well, I'm going to drop out to really find out who I am, I'm not sure it would have worked quite as well. It just happened naturally, spontaneously. And look what happened. You were able to identify with who you really are. And, it's a wonderful journey, a wonderful journey.
I would say my path, what I did took time is to learn, to recognize what is in alignment with my soul. That I did took space.
Right.
But when I went into the road, I didn't, there was no, not only there was no reason to ask my sexual identity, there was no wish to that. And not only
Right.
that, when I found out, wait, I'm living the wrong sexual identity, there was a wish within me to know that I'm too old now for this shit. No. Can I just ignore that part?
Yeah. Well, wonderful story, great conversation, Avi. Your book, Cage of Freedom, is available on Amazon, correct? And if people want to find, reach out to you and find out other things that you're doing, as you mentioned, courses and stuff like that, how can they find you? It will be in the notes, but I want the listeners to hear that. How can they reach you?
Well, you can search for the Cage of Freedom or for Coach Avi. And I'm pretty unique in that sense, so you will find me.
Okay, Coach Abby. Okay, good.
And you can put
Excellent.
a link
Yeah,
the
we'll
description.
put it. It'll be in the show notes too. Well, thank you so much, Abby. Really important story for all of us, because it is so easy to be. Well, it's almost impossible not to be conditioned by experiences, and so forth. So, thank you again, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.